welcome to Brand Disciples. We're calling a generation of entrepreneurs to be on mission as we equip the church to disciple them. I'm David Mills. I'm gifted to touch the world like Jesus by helping people connect to his mission and take new steps on their journey toward him. I love to live on the margin between the church and the marketplace. And of course, I'm joined by Amy Alexander.
Hey there. I love seeing people inside and outside the church empowered to be on mission every single day. I'm gifted to be like Jesus as I teach what's true and shepherd people in their journey. Thanks for joining.
We're on this journey toward unlocking the hidden business codes of the Bible. And we talked last week a little bit about the fact that we've got the Ten Commandments. We've got the chapter on love in 1 Corinthians. We got lots of instructions about money, but it seems like there's this missing code, this missing guiding philosophy for business in the Bible. And we need to uncover where that is. And we think it's there. We got to find out where it is. So a lot of people have a strong drive. Like they want to know what's right. They want to do things right. They want to do them well. They want this code of practice for their business. It's all about success. It's about pleasing God and living in a way that pleases him. But there's this creeping feeling that people have that maybe that code of conduct, that guiding philosophy isn't even in the Bible. In fact, last episode, we read a quote from a researcher who said, it's not there. So while there's lots of people who would like there to be some kind of guiding business code, they can't seem to find one. And there's this whole other group that's less concerned about doing it right. They're less concerned about the list of the right ways to do things or this code, this ethical code. They're really driven a different way, and they're driven toward looking for a way that God and knowing God might give them an advantage. How could God help them in their business? Now, of course, you can't blame them, right? We've been told, like in most of our Christian life in America, that Jesus and the gospel is all about me, that he came to give me abundant life, right? So it's natural for us to think that maybe my business is the same deal. How can God help me in my business? And of course, for the people who are really driven, if you know the creator, if you have a connection to God, it just makes sense that he's going to give you some kind of advantage. It puts them on the trail of what like we could call the God hack. And it can take you down a very interesting path.
Yeah, it's interesting the way that prosperity gospel sort of creeps in to faith-driven or Christian business thinking. Even though many of us don't subscribe to prosperity gospel, and prosperity gospel, if you're not familiar, is really this idea that if I am being faithful to God, that he will abundantly bless me with wealth, that you can actually, it's akin to manifestation. This idea right now is really popular in secular culture, which is you can manifest your destiny, you can manifest something. And so prosperity gospel sort of puts a Christian twist on that and says, I can declare that God is going to give me these things. And if I have enough faith, then he will, in fact, give me a yacht.
Actually, my favorite illustration of this is from the IT crowd. And it's when the boss there, and I can't remember the name of the religion he subscribes to, it's some kind of space religion. And and the way that you get things is you wish and then you throw some kind of dust over your shoulder or you look at a star or something. And he wanted to have a helicopter, so he got a helicopter. And then he wanted to have a robotic hand. His hand got chopped off. And so then he said that my wish was granted. So anyway, it gets like that. It gets crazy.
And it creeps in really in really small ways, right? So if we don't subscribe to prosperity gospel, we still find ourselves in these sort of negotiation type conversations, prayer lives, actions that really in the end are also prosperity gospel. We just don't name them that.
So I just remember the name of that for the IT crowd. It's called Spaceology, where you apply space star ordering. That's what it is. Wishy thinking. Yeah, go ahead.
Wishy thinking.
Yeah.
Our favorite quote from that episode is when that CEO guy says, space, what is it? We really don't know. It's just funny.
How do we get on this topic? I do not know, but I think the issue is that there are people who really, they really do think that knowing God should give them this God hack, this advantage. And so in the public space, as you've already mentioned, Amy, there's lots of people who are basically promising the same thing. Now, they don't use always overtly religious language, but sometimes it's pretty religious to what they present, or they rip off the style of religion. But what they're really promising is the magical secret. And there's even books about the secret, business secret. And so I think there's this magical thing that we are expecting to happen. And some people aren't looking for the guidance, the code of ethics, the right way. They're looking for the God hack. And I've actually had entrepreneurs who have been trained in the secular culture. They will make statements to me that they're every bit a religious statement. They sound like a faith statement, but they're really nothing to do with faith at all. They're just this magical thinking that they're manifesting their future, they're controlling their destiny. And I think it's a risk for us, but that's where this God hack thing can take us if we're not careful. And so the question is, like, how do we know who to pay attention to? How do we know who to trust? Who do we believe? And like the most obvious thing we would do is let's follow the money. So what we would do is we'd look for the person who has like the best business system, who's made the most money, and they must be the ones, right? Because they are the ones who are the most successful. They must be the ones we should trust. That makes sense?
Yeah. And I think especially as entrepreneurs, whether we are Jesus followers or not, we still get put into this bucket of lots of people who basically are just looking for success stories. We're basically just looking, if we're not a success story, then we must be a failure story. And if God called me into it, then it must mean I'll be successful. That's kind of where we take this, right? We take it a step further than the average entrepreneur. We say, God called me. God wants me to do this. So he must be leading me somewhere that's going to be wildly successful. And if not, then what the heck?
Right? It reminds me of the conversation that Jesus had with Peter. He says, Peter, when you're old, they're going to lead you around where you don't want to go. And so sometimes the path that he has for us is not only the one that's wildly successful, because he has other things in mind for us. And I'm not saying that God doesn't want to bless us, but I do think that we have so idolized the success path that we now think that somehow must be the right way. And by the way, there's this whole industry that people make a ton of money and they sell these mastermind courses, and what they really are, and they can cost $25,000 or more, you're signing up to spend time with one of these gurus, one of these magical people who's got the blessing of success in their life. And so it's a real weird thing, but that's where a lot of people end up. I think it takes us to this bigger idea, like in our culture, we flat out idolize the people that are successful and rich. So if there's a God hack available, we want to get it because that would make us successful and rich. And of course, because success is the main criteria.
Yeah. There is an author, John Mark Comer. He's written a lot of books, really smart guy. And he has a lot to say to people in ministry. He takes a bunch of important psychology thinking, and then he tempers it with biblical wisdom to spit out a less spiritualized way of thinking about things. So his advice is actually really often really good, and from an angle that's different than you might typically hear in church. John Mark Comer. Anyway, he says that a position of pride creates a position of shame. And in church, we're really good at creating positions of pride, but we forget that creates positions of shame. And so we're really good at talking about all the times that someone got healed. We're really good at talking about all the times that that prayers got answered. What we aren't great at is talking about the 100 times before that person was healed, they were prayed for. Or the 50 times God asked you to pray for a random person that you didn't. And then that 51st time you finally said yes to pray for someone random, right? And so we have to be better at, in general, I think, about, without using a totally pop culture term, normalizing, de-shaming what it means to be on mission and be failing. And what does that mean as an entrepreneur, and what does that mean in business to be on mission and to be following the path that you're sure the Lord has sent you on, and for that not to look like monetary success? We have to bring these things out into the light so there's not so much shame.
Right. And yeah, and so obedience does not necessarily connect directly to financial success. They're not too, in fact, there's a, Jesus had a saying, right? He was talking about how people worry about what they're going to wear, what they're going to eat. And then he says in Matthew 6:32, he says, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but the, your Heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. And then he goes on in the next verse to say, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So there is this upside downness to the way that Jesus looks at this. And so as we're pursuing these hidden business codes in the Bible, really what we should be looking for is, what is God's way? And that's what we should be focusing on, is how do I discover God's way to be in the world but not of it, to do business without being consumed by it, right? To raise money without losing my soul. So there's got to be this balance that we're bringing to this. It's a lot different than the way the world approaches it. And we do live in a world that is totally obsessed with success. And how do we measure top business influencers? Tony Robbins, 6 million followers. Brene Brown, 4.4 million followers. Jeff Bezos, 4 million followers. Simon Sinek, 1.8 million followers. Richard Branson, 4.7 million followers. Elon Musk, who knows how many followers? 100 million followers. Gary Vaynerchuk, 10 million followers. These are Grant Cardone, 4 million followers. So that's how we look at this from a kind of a secular perspective, is these are rich people. They have a lot of fame. And that's how we've idolized success. But if that's what you think you're looking for in the hidden Bible codes, I think you might be a little surprised. You might not actually come up with the thing that you were looking for in the first place.
We do, or maybe that's not obvious, we do a lot of entrepreneurial discipleship. And one of the conversations that often comes up is this conversation around, what does success look like? And is success really the narrative? And how do we decouple business success with obedience and all that stuff? It's a really complicated conversation. It comes with a ton of emotion. It comes with a feeling of yourself being a failure or being just frankly bad at entrepreneur. Like, it just comes with so much stuff. But I often ask people in this conversation, what if God sent you on this journey to fail? What if that's the successful outcome, is failure in this story? And that can be hard. But I think it's worth asking yourself, is financial success what success looks like? Or is it something else? Because in the end, who we're becoming is the thing. The narrative is actually how the Lord's shaping us and molding us. It's not whether or not we have an insane amount of profit and we're getting to sit on our couch and only work 4 hours a day because we just have so much income. That's not actually the narrative, right?
Right. The reality is that if you're an entrepreneur, you're not going to intentionally do things that you think are going to fail, right? That's not how people are wired. We're going to do things that we think are going to be successful. And our interest in finding these hidden business codes in the Bible, the instructions for how to be a godly, redemptive business owner, our interest for doing that should not be just because we're looking for a God hack that we can become like all the other rich people. So as we talk about, and as we move into talking about these codes and where they are and what they say, you can be pretty sure that, like, Jesus is not taking you into a conversation that's simply a God hack, nor is it a list of rules, right? He's not giving you either one of those things. It has to be something different. And this was a conversation that happened during Jesus' time too. I'm thinking about the story of the rich young ruler. And this is a guy who came to Jesus and said, hey, I've done everything right. So he had both sides of the coin, right? He had the riches and he had the righteousness. And so what did Jesus say to him? He said, one thing you're missing. Go sell it all and give it to the poor. And what does it say? He went away sad, obviously. So I do think this was common. It speaks to this expectation. It was alive in Jesus' time. The Jews, actually, in the Talmud, there is a statement, it's a teaching, it goes like this, that if wine flows in a person's house like water, there is blessing. There was this belief among Jews that a lot of wine, a lot of riches, was equivalent to and was definitely a sign of God's blessing. And so I think that one of the things we have to do, and we're talking about today, is we need to think about how we decouple that so that financial blessing is not our primary motive. In fact, we know Jesus said, we just talked about it, Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom. So if you're seeking first riches and you're looking for a God hack, or you're looking for perfection like that rich young ruler said he had, you're not going to discover what it is you're looking for. Of course, it does shed some new light on that wedding in Cana, right?
Yeah.
And why it was so important that wine kept flowing, because that was a symbol to all those attending. If they didn't have the wine flowing, it would have been shame. And so I think that's what you're speaking to, Amy, is the lack of wine is equal to shame. But that's not exactly, that's not God's economy.
Yeah. David Lomas is a pastor out of San Francisco. He has really good stuff to say. And he, in a private, he posts podcasts where he's preaching, but he also posts some podcasts where he's having personal conversations. And one of those personal conversations, he was talking to someone about coming to terms with his influence. And as someone who maybe has a lot of influence or thinks influence is required to be successful, it's important to ask yourself, how much influence do I have and am I okay with that? And often as entrepreneurs, if the influence we have is small and we have feelings about that, we've just uncovered something about where this desire for success actually comes from. It has not come from all the things we say it comes from. We like to, we talk about you have to spend money to make money and you have to make a profit to be a viable business and you have bills to pay and you have people to pay and all those things are true. They're realities of money. But where success or the desire for success often really comes from is just our own sense of value. And when we have a small influence and that's all the influence God has given us and we're not okay with it, that is where prayer time needs to get spent, is in moments of saying, okay, Lord, you haven't given me very much influence and I have to be okay with it because actually it's not about me. Once you can decouple that, then money just becomes a tool again. Doesn't become an identity, doesn't become anything else that it's not supposed to be. It just becomes a tool for getting a job done.
Yeah, those are good insights. I think as we think about uncovering the way that God has designed for us to do business and what the Bible says about that, which we're doing as we're in this podcast and as we move forward, I do think that we need to be prepared as we hear these things, just like everything else that God shows us, it might be a little bit of a surprise. It might not be the exact message that we expected to hear. And so there is this principle. It's actually in Matthew 11. The disciples are asking, how come he talks in parables? Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This principle of, if you have ears to hear and you can have more. But if you don't have those ears to hear, then it doesn't matter what he says to you. If you're a person who has itching ears, and you're just looking for something that's going to propel you into the limelight or into wealth, or then you're probably going to miss what he's going to tell you and you're not going to understand it. And a great example of that is the Beatitudes. This whole thing that Jesus did in the Beatitudes is really a complete like mind world reset that he was bringing. And so he's speaking to this Jewish culture, which is a lot like ours in the sense that it worships wealth and views wealth as being a sign of blessing. And so Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful, the peacemakers, right? So this is in the midst of a culture that was obsessed with success, wealth, and also with power and fighting back against the Romans. And so there's this whole environment. And so he was speaking into this culture, much like our culture, and he's saying things that were like a major reframe for people's minds. And so I do think as we come to these hidden Bible codes for business, then we need to understand that we might be need to be prepared for a little bit of a reframe in our hearts and our minds. And if we don't have our seatbelts on, we might not get the very thing that he's trying to tell us.
It also reminds me of Matthew 20, the parable of the workers in the vineyard. You have your workers that come in the morning and they work a whole day, and then you have your workers that come at lunchtime and they work a half day, and then you have your workers that come at the very end of the day. And at the end, the vineyard owner gives them all the same pay. And they're like, hello, I worked a whole day, or I worked a half day. How come these guys who came at the end get the same pay? And that is how we think. Like, that's how we, that's our culture. That's our, that's even our worldview as people who love Jesus, is what's fair is fair, you know? And Jesus is like, in the end, he's not, he's about justice, but the entire way he treats us is not just. The entire way he treats us is just mercy and grace and love and all of that stuff. Not any of those workers, if we take that parable to what it means, none of us actually deserve any of that pay, right? None of us actually deserve what he's given us. And so there's lots of these big reframes, but I think even that parable, there's things to take into our business. There's like a whole other way of thinking that's hard and is really uncomfortable for us, I think. Doesn't make sense. It's not logical, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so he may, the hidden Bible codes may offend your mind to get to your heart. It's possible. And so you have to ask the question, do I really want to know what these are? Do I really want to hear the things that God has to say about how to do business his way in my life in a way that will create the greatest impact, the greatest blessing? I think it's a heart check moment. And as you move forward, don't be surprised. I just encourage people as they listen to these episodes, bring your seatbelt, because you might just be a little surprised by what you hear.
It's gonna be fun. I'm excited about it.
Thanks for these insights today, Amy. I thought it was valuable. And I'm gonna chew on this myself. I think there's things to think about here in our own hearts about what it is we actually want. What do we want God to give us? And why do we want him to give it to us? And what's the thing we hold up as being the actual goal? What's success look like? Until next time.